I wish you all a very happy Easter from our pastor, Father John Schlegel, Father Matt Walsh, Father Ken Harrion, our staff, choir, good people. So happy Easter to you. I'm going to need this book because my email with my notes didn't come in. It just happens. This is a very interesting gospel for Easter Sunday. It doesn't say Christ is risen. What it says is they came to the tomb and found it empty. Stage one. What's interesting about the Greek word for tomb, and it's not the best translation, meneon, as I recall, it's memorial. Anytime you get the word MN, you know, mnemonic device or whatever the heck it is, it's about remembering. And it's used a number of times in John's gospel, and it's so easy to stick with the historical memory in that and miss the symbolic connections that John's doing with this word. There's another word for grave. It's not this. This is a place of memory. This is a place of memorial. And I don't know, there were 8 times in 10 verses that the word tomb was used. What I want to suggest is, being a dyed-in-the-wool Irish existentialist that I am, I want to suggest that this has something to say to you and me today, which is, no matter how we evaluate our belief, we always have a sense of, and some more than others, the whole experience is partly not knowing and partly knowing, is partly believing and partly not believing. And from year to year, depending on what happens during the year in each of our lives, we come to this place of memorial to hear the words of the Tridus tell us who we are in Christ. And it seems to me we're more like Mary of Magdala and Simon Peter, because there's that element, I'm sure, in many of our lives, most of our lives maybe, of not completely getting it, not completely letting it in for whatever reason. And what's wonderful, it says, it ends, as you heard, they did not understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. And it's something about this. It's not just about understanding it. I could give you 3 hours on John's resurrection passage. You ready? And that would do something. Maybe give you a nap before brunch, but one of the things it would do would provide information. And information is key. Understanding what John's theology is and what he's trying to do here in the proclamation of Christ's resurrection is vital. We need to understand and know. And there's the other part, the experiential part. The part where it's not just me getting ideas, but it's the part of the encounter. Here's the trick. We can only encounter Christ as we are. So, whether you're happy to be here, whether you're not, whether you're believing, whether you're kind of saying, oh, criminy, or whether you're thinking about brunch, or whether you're thinking about the finals of the NCAA tomorrow, congratulations to Wisconsin fans and all that, and, all, you know, whether you're looking at the, going to go home probably like my sisters in Omaha, all six of them, will be studying the ads. Because in our family, shopping is a way of life. So, there's lots of different ways to come. Just want to remember two things from last night's Easter vigil. At least two, if I could remember the second. The place began in darkness. Turn off all the lights here. And up in that corner by the St. Joseph statue where all those chairs are, lit the new fire. And there was light, physical light within the darkness. The fire was blessed. Father Schlegel blessed the fire, blessed the candle, lit the candle, and then processed around the church. And those who had been baptized had candles, and soon the whole place was filled with little lights, which is a beautiful picture anyway. And then the great prayer was sung from up here, the Exultet, which is the prayer that blesses God and the candle for and uses the candle as our offering, which is the light of Christ. And it has what some would consider, I do anyway, some of the most scandalous lines in Christian theology. Oh, happy fault. Oh, necessary sin of Adam, which gained for us such a Savior. And so instead of what some of us experienced anyway growing up, the shaming of you're a bad person and you're a real schmuck for not living up to these ideals, you're disappointing and all that stuff like that. What it simply did was say, look, the mystery of how we do life that's based on a fear of inadequacy, a fear of disappointing, a fear of unworthiness, loneliness, whatever. That is, we live our lives out of that stuff. And what this is saying is that's the very stuff that calls out, as darkness called out for that light that was lit, and calls out for the appearance of Christ within our midst. Not as someone to come in and say, all right, shape up. Do you ever see the button? I've got a button in my office here. Jesus is coming. Look busy. I mean, it's what it said to me last night. In a new way was everything in my life that I try to avoid cries out for the light, and more than that, becomes the very place of the encounter with the light that is Christ. And so it's one thing to say, Christ is risen, and say, okay, prove it. It's not about proof. It's about encounter. And I would suggest in the willingness, and take it or leave it, the willingness to be encountered. In our vulnerable, protected, tender places. And to find there, where it's easy to hide, the light that is freeing. That because we can see ourselves with clarity and know that God sees us with clarity, we're free. I don't have to pretend anymore. And inasmuch as this seems like it's just about my personal experience or your personal experience, yeah, that's the truth. It's an experience of the church. It's the experience of this country, this state, the world, how we function when we're in a as we're in a self-protective mode, fear, and the light that frees us from the need to pretend we're something we're not, and that others are something they're not. So happy Easter. For the next few weeks, 4 or 5 weeks, we keep unraveling, trying to say, what does this resurrection stuff mean now? So it's a start to the Easter season. God bless us all on our seeking, our finding, most importantly, on our being found.